Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels a little earlier than usual. Sorry, I had to go mid-afternoon today. I got a lot going on here at Cheesehead TV throughout the afternoon and into the evening, but I wanted to make sure I chatted with you fine folks before my day gets completely crazy. Good to see everybody already mixing it up in the comments. As usual, the regulars are here. Brandy, we'll get to your sack predictions in a moment. That's good stuff right there. But first, of course, got to give a shout out to our good friends over at Ticket King. People, if you want to watch the Green Bay Packers in 2023 play a game of tackle football, you want to utilize Ticket King to get your Packers tickets. Go to Cheesehead TV, either our website or the app. Go to our schedule and you'll find individualized links for each and every game, home, away. Every single game the Packers are going to play is available to you through Cheesehead TV on Ticket King. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, or SeatGeek. None of these national companies. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Or hell, you can use the link in the description of this video if you want. Just utilize Ticket King. You know you want to, people. The other thing you want to do is tune in Saturday when the Packers take on the Seahawks to watch both Jordan Love, who will play, and his official backup, Sean Clifford, out of Penn State. That's right, the rookie essentially winning the job today when Matt was asked at his press conference by one of our good friends here at Cheesehead TV, Andy Herman, about the backup spot. Matt, I think it's been pretty obvious here for a while now, but it's always good to get it stamp of approval from the coach. Clifford's had a good camp, man, and I know I put it out there early that my first week in Green Bay, he was the biggest surprise, how well he kind of hit the ground running. Now, obviously, the book on him coming out of Penn State was his intelligence, his ability to absorb a playbook and probably put it on its feet pretty quickly. But I certainly didn't expect him to be as productive as he has been. And I do not doubt for a moment his two performances in those preseason games went a long way in cementing their idea of having him back up Jordan Love. It's kind of weird how it kind of follows in line with what happened with Aaron Rodgers and Matt Flynn. Obviously, it was a very different situation in the battle itself, given that there was a second round and a seventh round pick involved in that one. But we're going to have a rookie backing up their first time starter, much like they did when Aaron Rodgers had Matt Flynn behind him in that room. So love that for Sean Clifford. Like I said, he surprised a lot of people. And let me just put this aside. I just want to say a little something about the draft industrial complex. This is why so much of that is such wasted pixels, and all sorts of content is created around what they've done in college. And this is just a perfect example of how little that means when it comes to translating it to a specific scheme with certain teammates and a certain coaching staff. I mean, how many people mentioned the potential of Tom Clements and his ability to build up quarterbacks when they were talking about what a terrible pick Clifford was in the fifth round for the Packers? Precious few people even mentioned Tom Clements in that regard. But that's what it's about. It's about the fit as they project them to develop. And Clifford, so far, is a perfect example of how everything he does in college and all the knocks against him and all the things that people kind of killed him for don't really matter a whole lot if he's put in a good situation with a good scheme and a good coaching staff and teammates that can execute. Look how well he's done so far. Now, I'm not even pretending like he's even close to arriving. He's got a long way to go in the NFL, but he's off to a pretty damn good start because of the situation he landed in and the people around him, which is exponentially more important than anything that any college player did while they were in college. I mean, I say this every year in the lead up to the draft, and I hope this serves as a crystallization of what I'm talking about. But I know this will all be forgotten next draft season, and we'll all be off to the races with our lists and talking about how the Packers will never draft this guy because XYZ. I can't wait. I'm really excited. Hello to everybody in the comments section. So good to see you. What's up, everybody? We got a couple super chats to get to right away. Dash, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Nags, I've been in traffic for the past 2 hours, and I've moved 100 feet. Please entertain me. I live in California. Dash, I am so sorry. I don't know if you heard the horn outside the window here, but sounds like there's traffic here in New York, too. Coast to coast, baby. Dash, I'm here for you, buddy. The entertainment is minimal. but I'll do what I can in the purview of the Packers. Anthony Wilson, thanks for the super chat, man. 69, 74, 50, 76, 63 at practice today. That the group? I saw, Anthony. I saw Andy tweet that out. I also know that Andy had posited that that could be a group going forward. You love to see it. Bakhtiari, Jenkins, Tom at center, Runyon at guard. And then you got Rashid Walker over there at right tackle with the ones at practice today. You guys know, anybody who's watched this channel for any length of time this offseason, I have been banging the table for the potential of Zach Tom at center. I'm still going to be surprised if they roll that out there week one, if they don't revert to Josh Myers at center and Tom at right tackle. However, we'll see what they roll out there with on Saturday. And if that group, if that is the group, obviously I don't think Bakhtiari will play. I'll bet Nyman slides in for him against the Seahawks. But if that's the group that comes out the starting gate on Saturday, then I think there's a decent chance that that might be the group we see week one against the Bears. But the ways to go yet, we'll see what happens against the Seahawks. But I love the potential of that group. You're always talking about best five. I got the feeling that's your best five, but we'll see. Cyril, what's up, man? Just a thanks. Thank you, brother. Good to see you. Thanks for stopping by, buddy. What else we got here, folks? Oh, I wanted to get to Brandy's. Here we go. Here we go. Look at this. She didn't even super chat, but I got to put it up. Here we go. Carl Brooks, one sack. Clark, five sacks. Gary, 13 sacks. Slayton, four sacks. Oh, wow. That's probably a bit much for Slayton. Smith, 14 sacks. Van Ness, one sack. Wyatt, three sacks. Walker, one sack. And Campbell, two sacks. That's not terrible. I could see almost all of that. I think Slayton is going to be hard-pressed to get four sacks, but I think they'll make it up with Carl Brooks. And you haven't even mentioned Wooden, who I think will get in the mix with a sack or two. But that's not terrible. That you know what? I think Preston getting 14 might be on the high side. But for the most part, that's not terrible. That could and then she follows it up with Joe Barry sacked. I love it. I absolutely love it. Oh, Nick. Nick's ready. Nick is ready up here in Facebook saying Gary breaks the sack record and gets defensive player of the year this year. Okay, all right. Along with, apparently, if he does that, the comeback player of the year award as well. I'd be down with that. Nags, the offense has been using a lot of two tight end sets the last few weeks. I love this approach. They most certainly have. It's kind of been prevalent throughout training camp. Now, you got to remember, this is very much still camp/preseason. There's no game planning going on. They're not doing anything when it comes to how to attack certain defenses or schemes or what have you. I do think they're trying to get those young guys, those young tight ends, out on the field as much as possible to give them, you know, force feed them a little bit and get them as many reps as possible to get them ready for the regular season when those concepts are called. I don't think, Nagler's never right, but I don't think it's going to be a two tight end heavy offense, especially after Tyler Davis went down. But you did hear Matt talk a little bit earlier today about how, you know, in some of those situations where they need a little more heft at tight end, they have in the past utilized an extra offensive lineman, and they could do that again, especially now the big dog's not around. And I'm just saying, let's put Caleb Jones out there and bring back the ghost of Kevin Barry and go some U71, baby.
Tackle reporting is eligible.
That year was so awesome. Abdul, what's up? Haven't seen you in a while. Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, how impressed with the offense have you been? Over, under, or about how you thought? Also, you forgot my last super chat. Abdul. No, I didn't. Oh, there it is. Well, I'll get back to your first one in a bit. But with this one, it's a little better than I thought it would be at this point. And I've talked about this a couple times on various platforms. The thing that has surprised me about the Packers offense so far is you knew they're young. You knew there was a lot of potential there, a lot of upside. I'm impressed with how much on the same page they are, given how young they are at a lot of the skill positions. There has been precious little miscommunication between Love and his receivers. Now, that does happen occasionally. I mean, that just is football, right? That you're going to have a few here and there. But I really expected to see a bit more a guy cutting out and Love throws in, or a guy does a comeback and Love throws a go ball. Like things where maybe they're reading things differently or whatever, you know, adjustments they're supposed to make post snap. Maybe they see the field differently or they read the rotation of the defense differently. There's been none of that. And that's a testament to them. I do wonder if Matt has kind of changed some of the rules when it comes to what they're being asked to do post snap, but whatever they're doing in house, it is working because there is, like I said, there's just been none of that. And for an offense this young, I mean, you guys know, we talked about it all offseason. They're historically young at wide receiver. They're very, very young at tight end. It's just, they're all on the same page. And it's, I mean, and I keep waiting for it to kind of maybe rear its ugly head. Maybe it does during the regular season when defenses are game planning and it's a little more intense. But, man, at the moment, that has been the biggest surprise to me. And that's put them kind of ahead of the curve I thought they'd be at. But then, Abdul, to go back to your first Super Chat, hey, Aaron, any concern Tom is too undersized for tackle? Heard he was thrown around by Gary. Yeah, but lots of dudes are thrown around by Gary. No, if you can play, you can play. And if you got leverage, you got leverage. I will admit, first time I ever saw him on a football field, I couldn't believe they were trying him at tackle. But he's played lots of snaps at tackle and held up really, really well. And I mean, sometimes even like 90 minutes before kickoff, he's been told, hey, by the way, you're starting today. That happened last year, you know, and he played tackle at a high level. So no concerns there. Are there going to be occasions when a great player like Gary takes advantage of him? Sure, but that's true of any player. You know, great players make plays. Mimsy, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. When's the beer distro list dropping? Prost. incrementally, if you go to the beer tab on CheeseheadTV.com's homepage right now, you will find the list of places it's currently available. Carry the G is available in various places around in and around Milwaukee at the moment. It will be available much wider very, very soon. And when it's available, Mimsy, we will let you know. Trust me. John, thanks for the super chat, buddy. Random, what is going with the Brewer Stadium? Is this overfunding and politics? I may hate the Brewers, but I love the fans and people of Wisconsin. Oh, John, there's a lot going on there, and I'm not going to touch on the politics side of it, other than to say most public money being used for professional stadiums in any sport is pretty absurd, but that's where we've come as a society, and it is somewhat, if not completely entrenched as a regularity. There's a lot of saber rattling going on right now. Most of it, not all of it, but most of it is just smoke. There's a little fire there, but I still expect the Brewers in the state to work it out, and I really don't think there's much there. But we'll see. Chris, thanks for the super chat, buddy. What's up, Nags? Should we be expecting Rasul to play outside more this regular season, or is he going to be our main slot corner? Been a while. All love. What's up, man? He's played strictly outside so far in camp and preseason, or the little preseason he's played. Nixon has been 100% when the ones are out there, it's been all Nixon in the slot. I do think Rasul outside makes way more sense than he ever made to put him inside. I don't think that was ever comfortable for him. I don't think he enjoyed playing in there. It's real tough, man. You get those athletes who have real good, quick twitch and they got two-way goes and you're out there in space without any help. It's hard, man. And I think Nixon's kind of feeling that too. There've been plenty of practices where guys, Reed, some of these other dudes have been able to take advantage of him. Not that he's not played well, but it's a really tough job, man. It's a tough, tough gig there living inside. Plus you got to not only handle all that, but you got to stick your nose in there against the run. If you're the slot, that means they're a nickel. And then usually that means you've only got those two down linemen and you get the two outside backers. You're expected to help in run defense. So yeah, that Nixon has been that guy for the entirety of camp. And I don't see that changing barring an injury to someone somewhere, but you know, Rasul will play on the perimeter and as well he should, because he's outstanding out there. And to that point, he's had a really good camp quietly, because I don't think he hasn't had a ton of interceptions, but he has played some lights out coverage. Mimsy, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hard Knocks focused a bit on Cobb. Congrats on baby 3. Telling young wide receivers how they can lose 12's trust fast. How have wide receivers reacts to Love's leadership? He's been asked. The guys have been asked a little bit about it. I know Love was asked about, you know, his relationship and rapport with wide receivers and how he wants to earn their trust as well as they earn them earning his. It's really hard to say if you're not in the rooms, you know, if you're not behind the door when the locker room is like real and not media infiltrated. But it sure seems like they're all on the same page and together a lot and really kind of vibing off each other, so to speak. But again, that's one of those things. It's really hard to tell until it matters, right? Like, you can be all kumbaya all through the summer and it's great and you're having a great time and blah, blah, blah. But the moment you run a wrong route and the ball is tipped up in the air and it's intercepted, and then all of a sudden now we're wondering, well, do I trust this guy still? Blah, blah, blah. Or maybe that happens and then you try to go back to him and something else goes wrong. And then all of a sudden you're starting to question yourself, and that's leading to maybe not only ineffective offense, but maybe a loss. You know, these are all the things that get tested through the fire. That's when the trust gets built. Like, all this stuff in the offseason, it's great and it's important, but it doesn't really matter that much until you start winning or losing football games. And that's when I think this will really become interesting. That kind of idea of like, Love being a leader. Well, what kind of leader is he when they're winning? What kind of leader is he when they're losing? Those both will undoubtedly crop up this year, and I'm fascinated to find out. Abdul, thanks again, buddy. I saw Heath was running with the ones. I know they like to mix and match in camp, but do you see him replacing Dobbs? Oh, no chance. No chance. Zero chance replacing Dobbs. No way, no how. I love Malik Heath. He's a great story, but the only reason he's out there with the ones is because Wicks has an injury. Wicks, every time Wicks was injured early in camp, Heath made a lot of noise early, and then Wicks got back from injury, and the day he got back, he was back with the ones. Don't get it twisted. They love Wicks. So Heath's been a great story. Zero question about it, and I think he will contribute if this hamstring injury for Wicks lingers for a while. But yeah, no way is he replacing Dobbs. No chance. You're talking about future Hall of Famer Romeo Dobbs? Yeah, no chance. Abdul, again, thanks, buddy. Is Cobb a Packers Hall of Famer? 1,000% yes. Zero question. John Dale, thanks for the super chat. Are the fourth tight end and safety not currently on the roster? It's a possibility. Possibility. You're talking about the fourth safety or the starting safety? Because I think Rudy Ford's locked down this starting safety job opposite Darnell Savage at the moment. But fourth tight end and safety, it's a possibility. I think they're probably going to want to acquiesce to guys who've been in their program all offseason, but you never know. You never know. We'll see come Monday when they start the cutdowns. Abdul, again, what's up, buddy? Week one, do you see Matt LaFleur letting Love loose, or will there be training wheels on? Bit of both. I think early he's going to try and put him in good positions, right? A lot of bootlegs, a lot of delineated reads, try and give him some easy stuff in the flat, etc. But I do think, you know, get the flow of the game down and distance, winning, losing, where are you in the second half? Things, they may have to open it up, right? But I don't think they're going to come out five wide throwing it all over the yard or anything like that. Yeah, this is still his first, you know, start as the starter. So they've got a game plan installed for him specifically, and they've tailored the offense for him. It's going to be fascinating to see how much Matt has him kind of rising and firing. That said, I will say, you get what you emphasize, and they have done a ton of work with the passing game this summer. You know, they've done work with the run game, obviously, because you have to, but man, it's easily been 3-1 from the practices we've seen. So I do think they'll be throwing it around. Eric, yes, I addressed that earlier in the stream. Make sure you go back and watch it, but the offensive line I'm very, very, very excited about. Peter, who's your biggest outside shot for a roster spot, Nags? Love the show. Can't wait for the season. Not been this excited for a while. It's all of the unknown. Peter, you ain't lying, man. The unknown is what's so fascinating about this season. No question. Biggest outside shot for a roster spot. Do you mean like a long shot or someone who's not with the organization currently? Because I saw Mason Crosby put up a video earlier today. No, I don't think Mason Crosby's coming back. I think the kid's here to stay at kicker. But if you're talking about like a long shot who maybe, you know, most people aren't thinking about or what have you, It's a tough one, man. It's hard because we're all such geeks and we all watch each and every practice via Twitter or whatever. So we're all really familiar with all the names. I will say two names, Jadakiss Bonds, the undrafted wide receiver. I think he's got a shot. And Cox, the outside backer, the pass rusher extraordinaire, who I think has played extremely well. He played really well against New England, not just rushing the passer, but also against the run. There was one play in particular. They tried to come at him, and he just shed the block and made the tackle right at the line of scrimmage. I think he's played really well. So I think those are two dudes to keep an eye on. What's up? Callum's here. How are you, Callum? People talking about records. My record prediction will be coming next week. I can't wait. Be sure you check it out when I drop sometime midweek, probably Wednesday or Thursday next week. Heading into the holiday weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.